News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
Rhona McGreevy is looking at some of the other stories that are knocking around this morning. At what age were you abandoned on the main streets of Leitrim, Ronan?
I was practically when I was in the swaddling clothes as an infant, as left to fend for myself, as you would be in.
But I think it was our generation were kind of left like that. You know, your grand, there's a bag of tatels.
I wrote a piece there for the Irish Museum of Childhood about my own childhood, and I was thinking, there's no such thing as freedom. You just assumed you were free. Nobody ever asked you in as long as you came home for your
tea. Dinner.
As long as you were fed, feeding times were sacrosanct.
As your mother, like the monkeys, made sure she was checking the tension amongst the siblings to see how they were getting on. We have some sad news today. Donald Trump may be visiting, and it's going to further deplete Garda manpower.
Yes, and this proposed visit, or it hasn't been confirmed yet, will happen sometime between September the 10th to the 13th. I'd imagine it will not be on Friday, the September the 11th, because that's the 25th anniversary of 9/11. It's been called by Garda Operation Far Sunrise, which is... I'm getting my head around that one. But apparently he has already said that he wants to come to the Amgen Irish Open, which is at Trump International Golf Links at Doonbeg. And this is happening in the middle, of course, of the Irish presidency of the EU, where Garda resources are already stretched, and he's not the most popular president in the world. So I'd imagine that he will probably come for the 13th, if he's coming at all, for the final day.
From a logistical point of view, it'd be grand if he could land in Shannon, go straight out to Doonbeg and get back on the plane again. So that's probably the best case scenario from a security perspective.
Yes, but it may not occur that way. They're planning for a possible visit to Dublin as well, and it's going to be quite the logistical nightmare, particularly, as you say, and also when you think about the Amgen Irish Open, you think about what happened when Trump visited the Knicks during the war, during the basketball,
and
also the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, people were queuing for 4 to 5 hours so that let him get through. So imagine if you have a ticket for the final day of the Amgen Irish Open, and he turns up, and you probably have to turn up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's not going to help fans in their own way. But the other thing, of course, Gianni Infantino appears to have moved into Donald Trump, at least into his head. And Donald Trump likes him there because he thinks Gianni's a great guy.
Yes, and he wants him to be the new United Nations Secretary General, the current one.
Sorry, for people who are only waking up, say that again.
The United Nations Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, is retiring in December, and there needs to be somebody to fulfil the role. And I would say that a lot of football supporters around the world have said, please take this job, please take this job, you know, because, but of course, like, it's Infantino is on huge money. He's on $6 million a year. If he takes the UN Secretary General role, he'll face a pay cut down to less than $500,000 a year. And it's a very left field suggestion. I would say I have to hand it to Infantino, even though I don't like the guy, and what happened with Balogun was an absolute disgrace. But he could turn around and say, look, you know, we robbed all the spectators, but we had full houses. We raised $14 billion. I think he got the big calls right in terms of the fact that there was 48 teams.
30-minute halftime.
Yeah,
show. 30. Come on,
well, that was awful. Yeah. I'm not excusing him, the water breaks and so on, but he can turn around and say, look at the money that we've raised as a result today. So,
well, it's not about the money, it's about the love of the game, Ronan. Love of the game.
Yeah.
This story about private care.
Yes.
150 women turned away for private care by the National Maternity Hospital consultants. And this is going to come back down to a choice. That the argument that's being framed here is that the way the hospital is going, that women will no longer have the choice of private care if they want it. And that's the direction of the travel that the minister wants.
Well, absolutely. And this is obviously the minister, Jennifer Carl McNeill, stood her ground in relation to the Rotunda, that those who are only public-only contracts would not be allowed to provide private maternity services. The Rotunda Hospital folded. Now, this is the National Maternity Hospital we're talking about, and they're saying that they've already turned away 150 women over the last 6 weeks from private care as a result of the fact that the public-only consultants' contracts are now kicking in. So as the older consultants who used to be able to provide private care leave in the system, they're being replaced by consultants who will not work privately. And so as a result of that, there's a backlog of women in the National Maternity Hospital looking for private maternity services. And Declan Keane, the clinical director of the National Maternity Hospital, says that it's already a problem for them. And they want to book in with certain consultants, as consultants can't take them because of the fact that they're overbooked, and then the public only consultants. But that's the way the Sláinte Care is going. Well,
that is put forward for Sláinte Care. In the NHS in Britain, private care doesn't exist in maternity. Now, and I'm not saying their maternity system is perfect, far from it.
Yeah,
but you know, we should be able to trust our public service to give the best to everybody.
Absolutely. And this is, we're going to see an awful lot more of this. If Sláinte Care means what it's supposed to mean, which is a one-tier health system, then this is going to happen in different areas of the health service. And I think it's a good thing.
Now, you and I obviously are purveyors of haute cuisine on a regular basis. But this Korean restaurateur has found himself in a bit of hot water. He's a two Michelin star chef.
So he knows
what he's doing.
Yeah. This is hilarious. This is the Gangnam district. Yes, it really does exist in Seoul.
Very stylish.
And the restaurant in question has been selling ant sorbets and sprinkled with ants for customers who wanted to flavor. And it's charged with violating food sanitation laws after food safety officials spotted mentions of ant dishes in blog posts and on social media. And the interesting thing about this is that insects are on the menu in South Korea all over the place. I remember seeing cockroaches myself when I was in Vietnam on the menu.
Yeah, crispy on a stick.
Yeah, that's right. But apparently, even though you can eat 10 different species of insects, ants aren't among them. So this poor restaurant now has been fined 20,000 won, which is 10,000 euros for the company. And
great news for the ants. I mean, obviously the ants lobby is quite strong in Seoul by the sound of it, that they managed to avoid getting done.
Would want to eat a banana sorbet?
Look, if you're going to a two-star Michelin restaurant, you'd probably want something like that, just to say, well, I had the ant sorbet now and it repeated on me for a week. We'll hold off on that. Did you enjoy the cockroach on a stick?
Yeah. Rowan and Margaret. Oh, the same restaurant had snake as well. They actually were eating, they had snakes in little cages.
Like a lobster. Ronan, you've lived such an interesting life since since that youth where you were left on your own. Ronan McGreevy, thank you very much for that.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage, in association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk, conversation that counts.